Hey guys, if you know me, you know I love to travel and you know I love to save money. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships. How to maximize points for real savings, not just free bottled water. How to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use, and so much more. They're doing great work over there. Check it out. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast.
The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Mia Ann. And before we get to Mia, here's a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com, and there you'll find some stories that I've written, some stories that some of the guests have written. You'll see photos of our guests. You'll see links to their social media. You'll see links to our social media. And that is, of course, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. That's the main one. If you could subscribe on there, I would appreciate it. Always nice to get some numbers there. We also have a Facebook page. You can follow us there. Let's get those likes up. Let's get those subscriber numbers up. Make me look like a big hitter, huh? And while you're subscribing, why not subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other streaming device you listen to us on? That boosts our presence there and helps more people find us. So do that. Maybe even give us a good rating. Maybe say a few nice things. That helps us. If you can, I'd appreciate it. If you think you'd be right for the show, or maybe you know somebody would be right for the show, or if you want to write me for any reason, like maybe ask me travel questions or tell me I'm awesome, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. All right, Mia Ann is someone I've met only once before doing this interview. She's a friend of many years of my girlfriend. They're both in the real estate game. And I found out through my girlfriend that Mia had taken a long road trip during COVID that lasted over 2 months following the death of both of her parents who died within 10 months of each other. And this was during the height of COVID. So you thought you went through a lot with just COVID and the lockdown. Well, Mia went through even more. So like many a person before, Mia decided to travel as a way of starting fresh and getting over some grief. And travel's always good for that. So she got in the car and left her native Southern California and drove all across these United States. I'm talking through Arizona and Texas, into the South, Florida, up to DC, Baltimore, New York, New England, over to Niagara Falls and Ohio and Chicago and Wisconsin, then across the Badlands to the Dakotas to Yellowstone, over to Washington State and back down to California, hitting all four corners of the lower 48. It was a dream road trip. And Mia has an interesting story as well in that she calls herself gender fluid, which means that I've seen her out in public dressed as a female, traditional female, or not, sometimes as a traditional male presenting. So that's a new one for the Travel Tales Podcast. And when this came up and she said she was okay with telling her story, I had to ask her beforehand and see how she was going to approach this. Now, the movie version of this story would probably include a lot of bad treatment around the country for being who she is. But I was relieved to hear that she didn't encounter any outright hostility or discrimination or anything like that while she was on the road, which I'm not going to lie. It certainly makes for a less dramatic podcast, but in terms of her safety, I was very relieved. It was also a relief to hear that since there's so much ugliness in the world now and so much hatred and discrimination seems to be making a huge comeback, that she found on the road, at least in America, that when you meet people one-on-one, most people are pretty decent to one another. And that was actually kind of a relief to hear. So there's a lot more of the story to tell, and I'm going to let Mia tell it. So now here she is telling the story of her solo road trip around America. This is Mia Ann. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Mia Ann, you are located where? You're in Redondo?
I'm in Torrance.
You're in Torrance, next door.
West Torrance.
Okay. Yep. Give me your profession and how long have you been doing it?
So I am in the real estate industry and I've been doing it since 2003.
Grew up where?
Grew up in the South Bay.
Actual local.
Yeah, born in Chicago. Moved out here when I was 5 and have been bouncing around the South Bay from Lawndale to Gardena to Carson, Hermosa, Redondo, Torrance. Yeah, kind of all over.
Well, as someone who grew up in Chicago, I can tell you, you didn't miss a lot of the weather. You dodged a bullet there, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, my parents both work for United, so we were able to travel back both during the summer and the winter. So, yeah, we were able to see the cold Chicago winters, too.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's a nightmare, isn't it? So, tell me originally the story. I met you through my girlfriend, Piper, and you guys have worked together on stuff.
Yes.
And we got the chat. I first met you when we went and saw Wicked down in downtown Hollywood. And you guys have known each other for a while, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So tell me about this trip you took during COVID and what were you doing leading up to it during lockdown? Were you in the area here? Did you like hunker down hard or were you one of those people where like after a week you went, screw it, I'm getting a haircut?
Wow. Well, going back to COVID, so 2020, I'm actually going to go back just a little bit before then. So in December of 2019, just a week before Christmas, my mom was rushed to the hospital because she was having some problems with her stomach. So this was on like a Sunday. So, you know, she was feisty and she just wanted to get out of there. She didn't like the food. So she was out on Tuesday and then got readmitted on Wednesday of the following week. And when they did some tests, they found out that she had stage 4 cancer. She had had breast cancer about a decade before, and it had come back, and it just kind of grew all throughout her body. So come 2020, she lost her ability to speak. They had to relieve the pressure on her brain, so they did surgery. She passed May 31st of 2020. So
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's how that was during the same time as COVID starting. So I remember the shutdown. I was actually working at a real estate office in Redondo. And I just saw the news and saw that some of the sporting events were being canceled. So I just Googled and found out that the Newsom was going to be coming on a little bit later that afternoon. So I talked with one of my other realtor friends in the office and we decided to pop a bottle of wine as everything else was shutting down. And that's how I guess I traveled into the beginning of COVID.
So you ushered in COVID with a nice bottle of wine and then moved forward.
Yes, got some gorgeous pictures that night of the sunset and the wine and the glasses. So yeah,
It's very common. A lot of people remember their last night before everything shut down. You know, I remember the last concert I went to. I saw this yacht rock band in Hollywood, and that was like I had no idea this little concert was going to be the last one I saw for 2 years. You know, you don't think about that. Who knew?
Yeah. Yep.
So now it's March 2020. The world shuts down. Mm-hmm. Now you're sitting there and your mom so she died in May?
She died the 31st of March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything hit you at once.
So Kobe had passed away in a helicopter accident just a couple weeks before.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, then my mom passed on the 31st of March, just a day before my brother's birthday. Mm. So fast forward, 10 months later, my dad actually contracted COVID and he was admitted to the hospital. And 17 days later after that, he had passed of COVID on January 24th. So, that was just...
So this was not a banner 10 months.
No.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it was just a lot. It was a lot mentally and physically. And so we wound up eventually selling the family house in June of 21. And by that time, I was just mentally and physically exhausted and just needed to get out of town. And that's why we're here tonight, because I started on my trip.
So tell me about the process and how much traveling have you done before? Was this very out of character for you to just throw everything in the car and take off?
So I actually worked for Delta Airlines for a decade, so I was used to traveling, but it was mainly air travel. And my dad, both my parents worked for United Airlines, so I was used to flying. But as far as like driving, this was the first time that I was actually going to go beyond Phoenix or Arizona or San Francisco. So that was like the extent of my driving. And when I first started, all I knew is that I just wanted to get away. I put my stuff in storage and I wanted to just go and visit my dad's hometown just to kind of feel grounded there. And I didn't know what I was going to do after that because typically I didn't like to drive. Yeah. So, I got to Phoenix, stayed, saw a friend there for a day, went on to New Mexico, made it to San Antonio, did the River Walk, went to the Alamo, and then I made it to my dad's hometown, down in San Benito, Texas, which is down close to the tip of Texas next to the Mexico border. And, so I just visited the hometown, saw some family down there, and I still had no idea what was going to go on or how long the trip was even going to be at this point. Because the next thing after that, I decided that I wanted to go visit my aunt in Arkansas. So on my way up to Arkansas, I stopped by Austin. There happened to be a gun shooting the day before I arrived. I didn't know anything about it because I was driving. So when I got there, I was clueless. I didn't know about it until the day after I left. I said, "Oh, I've just missed that."
Oh boy!
And then I got to Dallas, and I was able to spend some time in Dealey Plaza, which I had never done. I've been to Dallas a couple times before, but never was I able to spend some time in Dealey Plaza. So I went behind the grassy knoll. I took a look at the book depository. It was just so surreal. And then to see the two X's, out there on the street, it was just surreal. That's the best word that I could think for it. So after Dallas, I made my way up to my aunt's house in Little Rock, Arkansas. And that's what I told myself that, all right, at this point, once I get there and see her, I'm either going to like this or I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I don't drive this much when I'm at home. And why am I doing it now? And when I got there, I was just like, okay, this isn't too bad. So I just decided to keep on going, but had no idea what was coming up.
In the end, how long did the trip go till the end? I mean, how long were you on the road?
So it wound up being 76 days. Mm-hmm. So it was 34 states and 14,500 miles. I zigzagged my way through each of the four corners of the U.S.
So did work completely stop for you at this, or were you trying to still do stuff remotely?
I was actually closing up a transaction while I was on the road. I just had one of my friends hand over the keys once the escrow closed. So I was still working on the road, but I mean, there really wasn't much that was going on with my business. So,
right. Yeah. And, I mean, the real estate world was going a little haywire then as well. Isn't that right around when they just lowered the interest rates to crazy low points?
It was just crazy. Everything stopped because you didn't know how to do any showings. So, I mean, I wasn't really active at that point, so I can't really tell you where the interest rates went or what, if they went higher or lower. All I know is that everything stopped until people started figuring out what was happening, and then the business started coming back. But I didn't do anything. Yeah.
And I guess we should talk about you as a person. And, you know, like I said, I just met you. And I don't know, do you consider yourself a trans person or do you consider yourself not? I don't know. Help me with the terminology. I always like to ask just so I get it right.
Yeah, I would consider myself to be gender fluid. I think to be trans is definitely a distinction that they, that my friends that have gone that route, that they've taken that on for themselves. So there's many different levels of, you know, the community. So gender fluid is just one where, I mean, I feel that my gender kind of flows back and forth, and I'm equally as comfortable with both.
Now, is there, when you take off around the country, mm-hmm. was there a fear that, hey, where I go, I can't be this person there, or I'm putting myself in risk, or did you just take it as it comes?
There was a concern with some of the southern states. You know, I didn't dress in like in Florida, or when I was going through South Carolina. But in many of the states, as I said, I was dressing, you know, half the time. So, I never had any issues. When I was up in Vermont, went to the maple farms there and was testing, you know, similar to wine tasting, they give you a flight of maple syrup. And from light to dark, I was there, you know, tasting the maple syrups along with a couple families from Atlanta. And me and the moms hit it off. And, you know, the dads just kind of kept their distance. And, I never had any issues with anybody.
Now, when you were staying in, were you doing hotels, Airbnbs? How did you do it?
Yeah, so I was basically living life on a whim. So what I mean by that is there's three rules that I eventually adopted as I was driving along. The first one is that I have no place to be. And with that, it gave me the freedom to just kind of figure it out on a daily basis. Rule number two is no place that I had, or nothing that I had to do. So again, that took away any anchor, or there was no feeling of stress because I had to do something or had to be somewhere. And then the third rule that I had was that I had no budget. So with those three things, I really had the freedom to just live as I wanted to live for that particular day.
Was this the first time in your life where you really kind of felt that way?
For a short time, I might do that, but never to mm-hmm. do that for 11 weeks.
Because some people, you know, I mean, there's always that moment. A lot of kids, you know, they graduate college and then they just get that backpacking thing around the world or whatever. But I mean, you're young and broke, you know, you still have some responsibilities and things.
No, but I was definitely not broke. And part of me taking off on this trip is that I knew that I was financially responsible and able to take this trip. So while rule number three was that I didn't have any, you know, spending limits, I didn't go crazy with it either. So if I wanted to do something, I did it. But I didn't, you know, coming out of Yosemite and there was a $300 hotel room, I said, no, thanks. I'm not going to stay here. So,
if there was, there are many common themes of people on the show that give them reasons to take a big trip. Mm-hmm. Travel works as a kind of a balm for a lot of people, you know, whether it's a breakup of a marriage, I've had people who are leaving a death of a spouse or other things, and in your case, or like just losing a job. But travel can help all that and kind of getting out of our normal routine. Was your situation with your parents and their estate and everything, were the ends all tied up? I mean, I've lost one parent and I know there's a lot of paperwork and stuff that has to be done. Did that all fall on you, or do you have siblings to help you?
I was the one that mainly took care of everything, on, you know, with the paperwork and handling the trust, handling the sale of the property, even taking everything out of the house. So by the time that the home closed, I just didn't want any more responsibility.
That makes sense.
Yeah. At the same time, I was responsible enough to know that I had the financial resources that gave me that opportunity.
Right. And when you set out, did you, other than seeing some relatives, did you have a general plan or an itinerary? Nothing.
No. At the end of the 76 days, there were only 2 days that were set in stone that I couldn't do anything about. So the first one was Father's Day, where I went to go visit my cousin up in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's Father's Day. You can't move that. That's a Sunday in June. So I made it up there for Father's Day. And then the other one was a Foo Fighters concert, July 30th of 2021 in Milwaukee.
Oh.
So that was the other date that was set in stone. Other than that, everything else is fluid. I did as I wanted to, when I wanted to, where I wanted to. For however long I wanted to.
Was there a particular part of the country that you said, I really want to hit this place because I've been intrigued with it for a while? Or did you just kind of wing it?
Definitely winging it. There were some things that opportunities kind of showed up. So my cousin lives in central Wisconsin. So I figured, hey, I'm close. Let me just go up to Green Bay. So I wound up doing a tour of Lambeau Field. I
am a Bears fan, so you have to, I'll let you slide on that. But
oh, yeah, no, I'm a Bears fan too. Yeah. And,
oh, how dare you? You go into enemy territory.
It's a beautiful stadium.
I bet it is.
It was a great stadium. I did a tour of Wrigley too. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah. But I did wind up taking, 4 tours actually. So I did Lambeau, Wrigley. I actually came back and watched the game in Wrigley.
How fun is that?
Oh yeah, I was a bleacher bum. So
yeah,
that was fun. I went to Fenway. And stood up on the Green Monster. So that was amazing. That was fun. And they actually have a plaque of Carlton Fisk doing his famous pose.
Yep.
Yep, from 1975. So I was right next to that plaque up on the Green Monster. And then the fourth stadium that I took a stadium tour of was down in Tampa for the football stadium. I was able to get onto the pirate ship. And so it was fun. Just I did things that I probably wouldn't have done if I had set out to do it. It just kind of like showed up. The opportunity was there. So I did it.
That's great. Well, you're obviously a sports fan. So what are your teams other than the Bears?
So Bears, Cubs. I've been following, Nebraska football since I was a kid. And Blackhawks.
Oh, wow. Nebraska football?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Why did you go to school there?
No. I just remember as a kid watching Oklahoma was always beating them. So I just started rooting for Nebraska and they finally beat them. So, and then they had the great run in the 80s. I went to a couple national championship games for Nebraska when they beat Florida and in the Fiesta Bowl back in 96. Then I went to the game that they beat up on Peyton Manning in the Orange Bowl.
Man.
Yeah, 98. And then I went to the Rose Bowl when Miami destroyed them. So,
yeah. You know, Piper went to Oklahoma, though. You guys must not get along during the football season.
No, we've, well, they're not in the same conference anymore. So,
yeah.
But I've kind of kidded her before about Boomer Sooner.
So, if there was a place that you hadn't been to before that surprised you, like some place that you went, you know what? I expected nothing out of this place, but it kind of blew me away. Can you think of a place like that you went?
Wow. There's a lot of places like that, actually. Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Sure.
It was never on my radar. When I got there, I was just blown away. I love the architecture. I love the food, the candy that they have there. it was just a beautiful city.
Did you go to New Orleans?
No, didn't make it to New Orleans.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, the routing just didn't work out.
I get it. It is kind of a special trip. It's a little bit out of the way. But I always tell people, especially from other countries, if you want to see the South, I mean, there's not much left of it after, you know, Sherman went through there and burned it all. But the places that survived were basically Savannah, Charleston, South Carolina, and New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much where you got to see it, the South.
Yeah. Because
it's like the architecture, like you said. And I think I was helping you, New Orleans is probably the most unique city in America just for its different language, different music, different food, and different everything. You picked a good one there, Savannah. Are you a foodie? Did you eat your way around the country?
I did and I didn't. Okay. So, yes, I was eating my way through, and I found that, I can't continue to do this because I could feel that I could start gaining some weight. So I actually started going to Trader Joe's. I would just Google where the Trader Joe's was, and I started eating the Greek salad. So that was my go-to. I had had a couple suitcases in the back, and I had an ice chest in the front. So I would fill up with ice at every hotel before I left, and I would go to Trader Joe's and buy a couple of the Greek salads. And that's what I ate as I was on the road.
Smart, because if you try to go through drive-thrus along the way, you're going to be huge.
Oh yeah. I thought about that, but I didn't. Yeah.
Did you notice as you were driving the portions kept getting bigger and bigger as the gas prices went cheaper and cheaper?
Yeah, I did. I remember, I don't even know how this happened, but I had pulled off and was stretching early in my trip, just outside of Phoenix. And I just bumped into this couple and just told them what I was doing. And the husband said, well, if you're going to Nashville, you got to stop by. Oh, and I can't think of I can't remember the name of the place right now, but he told me this barbecue place. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, okay. All right. So I remembered it. And once I got to Nashville, I went there and oh my goodness, that barbecue, it was so good. It just melted in my mouth and it was delicious.
Well, now you're killing me. You got to find that name.
I will. It'll probably come to me sometime during this conversation.
All right. That's good. But, Nashville's a fun town.
Going back to the Civil War, I actually stopped by Gettysburg.
Wow.
I stayed there an extra day because it's very emotional. Just seeing all the battle sites, and I did the tour, and I watched the movie, at the visitor center. So I did Gettysburg, and then also went to Arlington Cemetery, which I didn't know that Robert E. Lee's house was perched on the top of Arlington and had this beautiful view over. You could see everything in D.C. from his house, which he lost because, the Confederates lost the war. So mm-hmm. He lost his house. And then the other thing that I saw was the Confederate White House down in Richmond, where Jefferson Davis was living. So, that was just part of the Civil War portion of the trip that I saw. When I was in Arlington, I went and I saw a couple of the headstones that I was looking for.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One of them, when I was a kid, one of the first movies that I remember watching was To Hell and Back, which was the Audie Murphy story. I don't know if, are you familiar with Audie Murphy?
Yeah, he was the most decorated mm-hmm. U.S. soldier of World War II.
Yeah. So I went and I sought out his headstone. I found it. I watched The Changing of the Guard, and it was just such a solemn place, a beautiful place, a solemn place.
We went there a couple of years ago. It was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree, definitely.
And so you made it as far up as in, did you get up to Maine even?
Oh yes, I made it to Maine. Going through the heartland of the country, I made it to Columbus, mm-hmm. Went to Pittsburgh. And as I mentioned earlier, my parents both work for United. So I went to the United 93 Memorial in that Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I knew that day was going to be heavy, so I wanted something to balance it out. So I was just kind of looking around on the map, and I wanted something light, something that was going to ease up the day after visiting Shanksville. And I found Punxsutawney. So I went to Punxsutawney during what turned out to be their summer concert festival, their season. So, yeah, it was just a band or a couple bands playing mid-70s rock. and exactly what how you would see it in the movies, that's yep. what was happening there. Yeah. So,
And ironically, Groundhog Day, the movie, which takes place in Punxsutawney, was actually shot outside of Chicago in a town called Woodstock there. And a couple of my friends were, I remember them shooting it, and a buddy of mine's an extra in it. I was living there at the time. But we were all very excited that Bill Murray was in town.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, boy.
The one thing that I wanted to get, I bought very few things on my trip because I didn't want to get, I didn't need anything.
Yeah.
I just wanted the memories. But the one thing that I wanted was a Punxsutawney Phil shirt. They didn't have any. They sent me to the local Walmart there. No, but they don't have any Punxsutawney Phil shirts in their stores other than during Groundhog Day.
So, it's their biggest thing, and you think they'd be capitalizing on it. You think they'd be cashing in on this.
Yeah. Now, they do have many, like, five-foot statues of Punxsutawney Phil dressed as Lady Liberty and Uncle Sam and just all these different things, you know, I guess, uniforms that he's painted in. Yeah, so that's my Punxsutawney visit.
So you did this in, was it June and July?
July, and got back here August, third week of August.
So did you ever hit some serious weather? Did you ever get drenched on at some occasion?
Oh, yes. So coming down out of Green Bay, driving through Chicago and on the way to Indianapolis, it was just raining cats and dogs. It was raining so hard, I had to slow down to 20 miles an hour. That happened to me again when I was coming down out of Boston to New York, where, again, it was raining so hard that I had to put my emergency lights on, and I was between 15 and 20 miles an hour.
Oh, boy. That's tough. I mean, you're almost what kind of car do we have? I mean, I should have asked from the start. What kind of car did you take off and doing this in, and how many miles altogether did you put on?
Yeah, so I have a 2018 Ford Edge, which is nice and spacious, just perfect size for me. And I ultimately drove 14,500 miles.
Woo! Wow. Man, that's a lot. That's a lot. Do you one of these guys that did you stick to the interstates, or did you kind of veer off and take some two-lane highways and that kind of stuff?
For the most part, it was the interstates. When I did get to Kentucky, I went to the Maker's Mark distillery, so I had to get off the highway there. But other than that, for the most part, I was on the highway. And I would just kind of veer off. And if I saw something that was of interest, then I would go and check it out.
No, oh, that's cool. Are you, see, things like bourbon, I'm okay with. Like, I was in Scotland in the summer, and I just don't have a taste for scotch. I think it would be lost on me. You know, as people have given me a nice bottle of scotch, and I'm like, you're giving it to the wrong dude. Because it's lost on me. Are you good with bourbon or wine, or is that your taste?
So I did the Maker's Mark. I have the two bottles, which I dipped into the wax. So yeah, they charge you a pretty penny so that you could dip those bottles. Yeah, and I still have those two bottles with me. But my thing is actually wine. So once I got to Sonoma and Napa, then I went to couple of the wineries that my wine club has, and so definitely enjoyed the wine.
So you're up in you do the Midwest, you Ohio, you're up in New England, and then you cut back across, and then you made it through. Did you go through the Badlands and all that other stuff up in the Dakotas?
Yeah, so I kind of zigzagged. So starting off in Phoenix, down to Texas, up through Arkansas, up to Wisconsin, down to Indianapolis. Then I went, Columbus, Pittsburgh, up to Niagara Falls, Syracuse, Vermont, Boston, New York, down to Florida, Miami, or Tampa.
Woo.
And then I had to shoot back up to go watch that Foo Fighters concert on July 30th. So I went Atlanta, Tennessee, Illinois, and so that's when I went to the Cub game. And then the next day I went to the Foo Fighters concert. So yeah, that's the first half of the trip right there. So you can see it was kind of like a big big loop almost.
Was the concert in
Milwaukee
Field or? Oh, it was in Milwaukee. That's right.
Yeah, part of Summerfest.
Summerfest, yeah. I played Summerfest like 5 times.
Okay.
In the comedy tent back in the day, in the 90s, in a time we like to call the 90s.
Yeah, well, for the Cub game that I went to, it was a very, it was a sad day for us Cub fans because it was the last day before the trading deadline. And going there on the train, there were already rumors that Rizzo was going to be dealt, that Chris Bryant was going to be dealt.
Oh, yeah.
Javi. So that was the last day they lost. Right after that game, Rizzo was gone.
Yeah, it was the fire sale. That was, so that was like everybody from the old World Series team.
Yeah.
It's all
everybody's
jettisoned.
Gone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad day. But, you know, you gotta rotate the crops, as they say sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
But so you make it – okay, so now you're in Chicago. You finish the concert, and you head – now you head back west.
Yes, Minnesota.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting story. So I – because you meet people online, right? So I had met this person who was portraying herself to be trans, and here we are talking for a couple months, you know, online. And I said, hey, you know, I might make it up there. So as I finally make it to Minnesota, to Minneapolis, she sends me a note, hey, you know, let's go to this restaurant. So I wound up going to this restaurant and she cancels. Well, one thing kind of led to another. And it turns out that she is a married mom who was just putting on this.
Oh,
yeah. Story.
That's horrible.
Yes. So I was like, ooh, okay. All right.
How did you find that out? How did you figure it out?
She was very sloppy in that some of the pictures that she posted were of her in a beauty contest. And when you zoom in on the name, you can see the name. So, you know, you just do a Google search and, well, there it is. So, yeah.
What is it? I always, when I hear these stories, I'm just wondering, what do they have to gain from all this? You know, they're not making money off this. It's just just wanting to be an asshole. I guess that's what it is.
I don't know. I've come across many women trying to play off as trans. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but you know, they do.
Well, let's talk about that a lot. You know, because I travel a lot, you know, over the years by myself. And I've been in strange countries and, you know, places where I didn't know anybody and I've been alone, even for business, a lot. And during the day when you're always out doing something and, you know, sightseeing or you're working or whatever you're doing, it's not so bad. I don't get that lonely, but I do find there are times like when you want to have a nice dinner, you know what I mean? And that's the only time you see it. It's like, you know what? I don't want to eat alone tonight. Usually I don't have any problem with it, but some nights you just like, you know what, it'd be nice. Mm-hmm. Did you find some loneliness hit you when you were out there?
No, I never had any problem meeting people. In Boston, I went to the Longhorn Steakhouse of all places in Boston, right? But I wanted a steak, so I got my tenderloins, and as I was there at the bar, you know, talking with the bartender, and there was this other couple that was eating at the bar. So, the bartender was really nice. The other couple, I mean, we just started talking and, you know, it turns out we just had something in common with parents who had passed from cancer. And, so there was never any problem with meeting or talking with anybody.
Well, that's good that you get, you have that. And how did you pick places to go? Did you just like do a little search online, do your homework, or word of mouth? And first of all, I love how you spend all that time in Texas, and then you get to Boston, and then you go to a Texas steakhouse. Of all the places.
Yes. Yeah. As far as like places to go, so I guess this kind of has to back up to the beginning when friends, I had two different friends. One asked me, okay, you need to text me everywhere, you know, at night when, where you're at, that you're okay. And I said, no, because that would give me something that I had to do. And I don't want to do that. So thank you for your offer, but no, I'm not. And the other person said, wow, you need to take pictures. You need to put it up on Facebook and social media and this and that. And I told her the same things. No, I'm not going to do any of that because, again, that would give me something that I had to do. And I don't want to have to do anything on this trip. So it was all, again, on a whim, whatever I felt like. You know, in Boston, I felt like having steak. So that I went to the steakhouse and I did I eventually adopted taking rest breaks as I'm driving along. So as I'm leaving Gettysburg and driving down to what I thought was going to be DC that night, I looked at one of the comments because by that time I had started to post on Facebook. And one of my friends said, okay, so you were in New York, you ate Little Italy. You went to Philadelphia, had the original Philly cheesesteak, not from Geno's or Pat's either.
Okay.
That's good stuff. Are you going to go to Maryland for crab cakes? And here I was halfway to DC and I thought, ooh, that sounds really good. So I made a left-hand turn, went to Baltimore, stayed there at a hotel in the harbor, had my crab cakes that night. And that's a lot of what happened on this trip. It was just like, ooh, that sounds like a good idea. Go do that.
So when did the Badlands and stuff come in? When did you start heading west?
So let's see. After
Minneapolis.
After Minneapolis, I went to Sioux, is that Sioux City? Or Sioux Falls?
Sioux Falls, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I was making my way west. So that's when I went to Yellowstone. Or is it Yellowstone? Yeah, Yellowstone, right? Yeah, I get Yellowstone and Yosemite mixed up.
Yellowstone, yeah.
Yeah,
the big one. Yellowstone's the big one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And coming out of there, I went to the Four Presidents. I always forget that. Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. The Four Presidents. Yeah.
Yeah.
South Dakota. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I had like a Pee Wee Herman type of experience because when I showed up, I saw all these bikes and I just remembered Pee Wee's Big Adventure when he saw all those bikes lined up outside the bar. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on? So I just Googled and said, Sturgis is happening on Friday. And here I am at Mount Rushmore on maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday. So there were bikers everywhere. It couldn't have gotten any more red than that. With the Trump shirts and everything was just very red. So that was a little bit concerning initially. But when I went to Mount Rushmore and I was taking pictures the day that I was going to leave, one of the biker girlfriends just came up and said, hey, can I take your picture? So she took my picture. The biker was right there next to her. Just no problem at all. They were both very nice and cordial. And so I left Mount Rushmore and then I decided I wanted to go to Sturgis, just kind of like see what it's like on the Thursday before everything starts happening on the weekend. And I got there. And as soon as you get off the highway, there's a sign, welcome to Sturgis. Well, all the bikers get off and they take a picture there.
Right.
So I'm sitting there patiently waiting until all the bikers are gone and quickly found out that there's never a moment that the bikers are not there taking pictures. So finally I just decided to, okay, I'm just going to walk up. And again, one of the biker girlfriends asked if she could take my picture. And then she even asked, do you want to take it with one of our bikes? So I got a picture with a bike and without the bike, but both of it in front of the Welcome to Sturgis sign. So that was a concern, but it quickly just left because when it's just one-on-one people, there was no issues.
That's so did you go into town and like I've never been to Sturgis, so just like during Biker Week, I just picture like the saloon doors swinging, like, you know what I mean? What was it like? And how the hell did you find a place to stay at the last minute in Sturgis?
Well, I didn't stay in Sturgis. I had left. So I left Mount Rushmore, and leaving there, I passed through Sturgis. So it was like early afternoon. And so I just did like two quick trips around, I guess, the boulevard. And I just made my way out of there. But I could already see that, you know, there were tents, there were radio stations, and it was starting to amp up as far as what was happening. And yeah, you could see that there was going to be a lot going on there.
Well, that leads me to the next question that, you know, I work on a lot of cruise ships and I do comedy on the road, and you meet people from all backgrounds and all different political leanings. And now more than ever, it's such a touchy subject that you try to lean, you know, when things start to swing political in a conversation, it's like, oof, boy, how much do I want to engage here? Did you ever come across any, did any conversations turn in an unfortunate direction?
No political conversations at all.
That's good. Woo, yeah. What a relief.
Yeah. And that was a concern. Yeah. That's, you know, in some of the southern states, once I got to North Carolina, then I didn't dress when I got to South Carolina, Florida, Atlanta. I didn't dress in either of those states. Once I started going back up north again, then I did. So I was just careful. I didn't want to tempt fate down there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do know that Atlanta in particular is a very... Gary, very LGBT friendly
city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Elton John has a house in Atlanta, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, I went to Atlanta last year. That's another trip for another time.
But, okay.
I can attest to that. It is very LGBTQ friendly.
Yeah. So you get the Sturgis, you make it out in one piece, and then you head across. Did you make it up as far as Washington State? Did you go to Lake Seattle and all that?
Yes. So my cousin lives in central Washington. So I spent a couple of days with him and his wife there. And then I kept on going west to Seattle, stayed there for 2 days. So I fulfilled on all four corners. So Washington State, Maine, Florida, and of course, California, where I started. So I hit all four corners on this trip.
It really is amazing. We take it for granted in this country of just how friggin' big it is. You know what I mean? And then, you know, I've been to a lot of countries around the world. And, you know, look, if you're in most countries, if you want a different climate zone or a different terrain or something, you got to leave to another country. Mm-hmm. Here we got like five different climate zones, and you want desert, we got desert. You want mountains, we got that. You want tropical Caribbean, we got that. It's pretty incredible. And you never have to buy a visa. You never have to, and you didn't even have to learn a new language to do it or change money. And we take it for granted. And I really wish more Americans would do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I wish I could have been able to do was cross the border up in Niagara Falls. Because at that time, Canada had closed the border, so we couldn't get over.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's the only thing that I had wanted to do, but I didn't.
What? Okay, so that's pretty much it. I mean, you checked pretty much everything off your list. Nothing was left. Was there like a national park or something you wanted to hit that you never made it to?
I didn't have a list to start. So,
Okay.
It was just a whim. I did a lot of things that I wouldn't set out to do. So like when I first started, I stopped off at a place called Pistachio Land in New Mexico, right? So exactly. Okay.
Pistachio Land.
I went to the Dr. Seuss Museum in Massachusetts.
Cool.
I went to the Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville. That was amazing. You know, if you are
anybody
that's a sports fan or even for everything that he did, Muhammad Ali Museum is amazing. It has so many things. It's not just sports. It's not just social. It's everything about him.
I would see that. Sure.
Yeah. There was just so many different things that I did that I was just blown away by.
Oh, that's pretty incredible. And then, did you make your way? Did you come down the coast of California, or did you just, I'm sure you've done that a million times though.
Yeah, eventually. So, after Seattle, I went down to Portland. This was during the forest fires, I think.
I was up there during that. It was really bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. And Portland was just, it was hot and, it was just very, cloudy from the fires. When I came down again, I ran into a lot of things that I stumbled into. So once I finally decided to just pull over and call it a night, after I had left Portland, I stopped off in a curious little town called Weed, California. And it was completely unintentional. I just stopped there and just happened to stay in Weed overnight. So it was
they got good merch up there.
Yes.
A lot of good weed merch.
Yes, yes. I got a t-shirt. Got a t-shirt from there. One of the few places that I did get a t-shirt.
Does it say I love weed and that's it? Or what is
it? I forget, it was something to that effect, yes.
Right. So after seeing all this and and experiencing this whole trip, how did it change the way you look at America, if it did at all? I mean, and what did you learn? Because it's so negative now. Uh-huh. Did it give you some positivity, or did it, how did it change you?
I think it kind of reinforced some things that the people, we all get along for the most part. It's the politicians, they're the leaders that are building this false narrative. They're the ones that are causing the divide, because I didn't have not one issue during those 14,000 miles. Not with the families from Atlanta that I ran into in the maple farms in Vermont. Not when I was down in, in Florida, Atlanta, no, or even the bikers of all places, Sturgis and Mount Rushmore with a bunch of bikers that they are proudly proclaiming how red they are. No issues. Yeah. Cause we were just talking on a one-to-one basis and just respecting who we are. No issues.
Did any place you visit give you like food for thought of like, man, I could maybe live here one day?
I would love to live in Vermont. I don't know if I could do it though, because while it is beautiful up there, I don't know if that quiet,
cut out there for a second. So you said you didn't know you could do it. You don't know if you could do it.
So Vermont, so the actually two places. So Vermont and my cousin's place in central Wisconsin. My cousin's place in central Wisconsin, he's got 5.5 acres. He's got a private little pond. And he's got his 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. So he's out. It's dark. You look up in the sky and you can see stars. So it's great to visit. I love being there for the couple days that I was there. But I think eventually I'd go crazy from how quiet it is.
Also, go back and visit in February and see if you still feel the same way.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, what town of Wisconsin?
Back in August.
Oh, well, it'll be beautiful then in August.
Yes.
What little town, if you don't want to give it away, but like
Friendship, Wisconsin.
Friendship. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cuz I went to summer camp way up there in northern Wisconsin. And yeah, you're right. I remember looking up and you see, once you get away from the cities and you see all the stars, it's pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. And the darkness. You know, just like can't see your hand in front of your face, dark, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. If you had to do anything different again, what would you do?
I had to do anything different, I would go to Delaware because I'd miss Delaware. There were some states that I was like, oh, I was so close. How did I miss it? So, yeah, Delaware's one. I think I would just hit a couple more states. Other than that, there's nothing that I would change. Yeah, happy with everything that I saw. I didn't necessarily go after some of the big things. I didn't go to the NBA or the ML Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. I went to Dr. Seuss instead. I did something different.
Can you get green eggs and ham there?
They do have like life size, well, 6 foot, like Sam I Am and and the Cat in the Hat, thing one, thing two. So they got all those kind of running around, but they also have a bunch of kids running around there because this is the Dr. Seuss Museum.
Yeah. I never made it to that one. When I was up there, I did go in Vermont to the Norman Rockwell one. So I went to the Norman Rockwell Museum there and got a speeding ticket on my way out. So there's that.
No tickets. Yeah. I didn't get any tickets.
No tickets. Good for you. Any car problems?
No car problems. I changed my oil once when I was in Atlanta. And no problems.
Did you get a total on how much you spent on gas?
Not gas, but I think the whole trip I spent right around $16,000.
Woo! All right.
2.5 months.
Did it do the job in terms of like, you know, you have all that time alone and the time to think. It's a lot of time on the road to think. Did you come to grips with all you've been through, you know, with your parents and everything else?
Yes and no. I mean, I just found that, after getting back and just continuously talking with friends, I mean, it's nothing that you ever get over completely. I was able to just come to grips with, I gave up responsibility and just did my thing for those 2.5 months. So it was definitely the break that I needed. But at the same time, one of the things that I did when I got back was design the headstone for him. So, that was still something that had to be done when I got back. So,
yeah. Any thoughts of doing this again someday, maybe overseas?
I'd like to go back to Europe and hop on their Eurorail. Did that for a much shorter time back in '98. I'm taking a shorter trip here in the States in August. It's only 2.5 weeks, so 17 days as opposed to 76. But that's all I can get off from work right now. So
that's all right.
I don't have to do. Yeah.
You know, work is good too. And then you got to, so this trip is back to Wisconsin?
Back to Wisconsin, see my cousin. He's getting older. So I may also drive down to Little Rock to see my aunt if she's open to seeing people. So I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. But
it's nothing like losing a sibling or losing a family member or someone really close to you going, you know what, if I can see somebody, if I'm in the area, I'm going to make the effort. You know what I mean? Because you just never know.
Yeah, you never know. Exactly.
Do you think this changed you as a person in any way in terms of like, I don't know, how you carry yourself, how you think about people, about the world?
I think it did. It's always just living moment to moment and not getting caught up in the silliness of the world at times. Frankly, there have been times when I'm dealing with somebody who calls into the office and they're just being very rude and, beyond, just over the top. And I'll just end the conversation by saying, look, thank you for calling, but, I'm just not going to listen to this abusive, language. And this call's over. If you want to call back and speak in a normal tone, we can do that. But right now we're done. Bye. That's something that I might not have done in the past, but now I'm just like, look, I don't need to put up with it. So, yeah.
I hope you get out there more, and I hope you do get a chance to travel as much as you can, because it does, as you saw yourself, it does lead to new things and new ways of thinking. So every so often we need that, don't we?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it is just refreshing to get out beyond our little circle or our little South Bay bubble, yeah, as we know it. So it is nice to get out there and just meet new people and just have new experiences outside of California.
Well, did you finally get around to posting any photos? Can people see them somewhere? Or are you online? Can they follow you on Instagram or something?
Yeah, there's some photos on Instagram. And I got some photos on Facebook. So yeah, they're just kind of scattered here and there on both.
Okay. Well, if you want to put links up, we'll put a link where people can follow you and go, follow you along on your adventures. And, I really appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. I enjoy this. It's always nice to share about the trip. It's, yeah, it's definitely a life-changing experience.
Yeah, sounds like you had a great time. And I was here. I always like to hear how travel was positive for people. You know, that's why I try to promote it. And it's great for getting over things, whether it's heartbreak or grief or even losing a job or a friendship. It's it works. Keep moving, I say.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yep.
All right. Mia Ann, everybody.
Thank you, Mike.
For spontaneous travelers, winging it is the perfect listen. James Hammond shares stories and tips from 75-plus countries. Find it at voyescape.com.